Exalted, far above. to understand in our small brains, in our small understanding, how big you are, how great you are, that we can exalt you. Sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge, Lord. Help us to enter into your presence again. Thank you that we are in your presence, Lord, and that we can exalt you as our King, the King of glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Worship team, it's so good to have you here. It's such a blessing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited. 3 weeks back, God already gave me the sermon, and then he said, no, it's Dadgum's turn to preach. So I said, okay, then it's next week. Then he said, no, it's Dadgum again. I said, all right, you know what? So I'm very excited for what God has on his heart for us today. And it's lots of video clips. So stay awake and be with us. It's great that that we know the Holy Spirit is here. And I know when I prayed beforehand this week, God shared with me that we will have a new understanding of him, and I trust him for that, because it's only him that can do it in us. So be ready for a new understanding. So yes, the sermon's name is Who Am I? And who am I as God? God asked me, who am I? Who is he? And I want you quickly to turn to three takes sometimes too long. And share with the other person what comes up in your mind when you hear the word God. Okay, now you can share. Okay, everyone got kind of a. Is that now when you're 3? You kind of struggle. Okay. The next question is only these two. Is if someone asks you, who is the God you believe in, what would you say? Yes, you can quickly share. Okay, so you're all super cool evangelists. We can take you all out on the streets and we can share with the people who is this God. Me and Dad can sometimes others of the church, but we join with other churches on a Thursday evening to evangelize, and man, sometimes it's so difficult. So I would love to hear your answers. But we have often different ideas and experiences and beliefs of this, of who God is to us. And we often say also, I believe this, or I believe that. And often it is our own theology. It's not really what the word says. It's our thinking of the theology, or what we think will work or sounds cool or will be accepted or whatever. But we always have to come back to the word. Who am I is not what we think, but what does the word say? The Bible is actually the only truth, and yes, often our intellect stands in the way, but God shares very clearly in the Bible who is He. And so we're going to look at that a little. But we have a downfall, and I think we all know that we have our own thinking and our own wisdom and our own intellect, and we think sometimes we are so cool. And we know it all. And sometimes when we walk on the campus at the students, sometimes people will say, I don't know really, who is God or who made the earth or what. But sometimes they have lots of things that they think is true. So when we look at the Bible, we see in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, and I shared this morning with a small group as well, that our thinking can often be the target of the enemy as well. So our thinking is often confused, not really the truth, not really what God says. And the word tells us we must bring our thinking in line with God's thinking. Okay, and here in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 it says, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What it says here is that our thinking, our arguments, our theories, our reasonings, we must take captive, we must think about it and of it and see, is it in line with who God is and what His word is all about, so, and who is God. So if someone asks me, yeah, but your God is a God of love, yes, He's a God of love. But He's not just love. He's righteous. And He hates the sin. So yes, He is a God of love. And if you love someone, but you do not respect that person, you overstep your boundaries because of that person's love. You abuse him, actually. And I think sometimes that's where people want to go. They want to say that God is love, and because He is love, everything is okay for Him. It's actually not. So it's half of the truth. So every thought, everything you feel is the truth, or what your motivations, check it. Is it according to what God wants us to think and to be? And it's not so difficult. The more you read the Bible, the more when you read the Bible, you ask God to open your eyes for what you read. Sometimes I read and then I feel that God says to me, I must read Hebrews 3. Then I read it and I said, okay, Lord, I have no clue what you want to say to me in Hebrews 3. So please, open my heart, open my understanding. Give me a revelation. That's where revelation comes from. Give me a revelation of what is in your heart so that I can grasp it. And it will also, we will do it in small groups as well. But a week or so back in the small groups, we got teachings again from South Africa. And it says, yes, South Africa has a lot of poor people. And that always overwhelms me because I don't have enough money to help all of them. And it definitely makes me just lame. I'm just overwhelmed. And then they said, yes, but we need to take care of the widows and the orphans. And we had a fast a few weeks back, and then the same thing is God says in His word, yes, you fast and you give your prayers and you give your songs and you do your offerings, but you know, you don't do what I ask you. I ask you to take care of the orphans and the widows. So I said, yes, Lord, I see that and I know that, but I thought you want me to plant the church. Do you want me to quit and then go and seek orphans and help them? And then God said, no. Orphans are people who are not guided by their parents to follow me. So then it was a revelation to me because I didn't see an orphan like that. So then I said, oh, thank you. So I grew a little. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 1. Luckily, the Bible starts with Genesis. And in Genesis 1, verse 1, we hear from God. We hear the word, we see the word God. In the beginning, God prepared and formed or fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. God is a God Trinity. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this God is also in plural. If you go and search it in the I think it's the Hebrew. I almost just go to Strong's. Hebrew. Okay. And the earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. This Genesis 1 is quoted in the New Testament 60 times. So often we want to say, ach ja, but the creation didn't really happen this way, and it was not. If you believe the Bible, it is repeated in the New Testament 60 times. So you cannot throw one part away and say, okay, Lord, but I'm in agreement with the rest. You cannot. Even if it's difficult for you to explain, we cannot change the Bible. Then we must ask God revelation. Lord, how does it work? Okay, and what is special here is God from the start created a place for us to live, but to have relationship with Him. If you go further in Genesis, you see that. And also that the Holy Spirit, Jesus was the Word, He spoke. The Holy Spirit was brooding, hovering. You know, the eggs are very much in the news lately. So, but chickens brood on eggs. And that's what the Holy Spirit, I assume, was doing there. He was there. And I'm reading a book now, How to Pray for Your Loved Ones That's Not Saved. And it says, it's the Holy Spirit's energy what makes them turn. It's the Holy Spirit's energy that comes then when Jesus speaks, but comes then and brings order. But God the Father, they're all in one. Okay, but that's another sermon. Mm-hmm. But in any case, it was all of them together creating the earth. And then if we see what they created on the first day, it was light and darkness. Second day was, I think they call it the heavens. And the sea, the waters divided of those in heaven and those on earth. And then the third day was all the nice green stuff that we can eat, I think. Perhaps I'm not perfectly correct yet. But what was awesome to me is the first 3 days it was made, and then the fourth, fifth, and sixth days is the occupation of those days. So the sun and the moon occupied light and darkness. And then the fish and the birds occupied the heavens and the waters. And then the living creatures and Adam and Eve occupied the earth. And the seventh day God rested. We know that there are many beliefs that see a God in the moon, that see a God in the sun, that see a God in trees, that see a God in weather. We are not to pray or honor. Yes, we can see that the creation is perfect and wonderful, but we do not pray as if it is a God. There's only one God, the God Trinity. So we don't pray to the sun as a God or to the earth as a God. One day someone asked me, yeah, in Zeist, and said, yes, well, do I want to be part of, I think it's some kind of green party. And in any case, they perhaps the Dutch people now can know what party it is, but it's a party that votes for the earth. Green and sustainable energy, or not sustainable energy, but energy from wind and so on. And then she asked me, would I like to join? I said, no, I'm not going to join. But to one extent, I'm in agreement with you, because God created this earth, and we need to take care of the earth. But the earth is not my God. I'm not doing because I worship the earth. it's because I worship God. No, just that distinction. Mm. I learned that the Frisians, I think it was the Frisians, they honored trees, especially the oak tree. And they felt that I learned from the Freemasons when I studied that if you hand over a baby through the branches of the tree, the good energy will bless your baby. So you actually honor the tree. While we were driving here, I saw a house with, I don't know if you know that face with the leaves on it. It's like the tree god. Well, don't worry. If you don't see it, it's good. Leave it. Okay, so creation was made beautifully and wonderfully. And the Bible does say it was evening, it was morning, the second day or the third day. So that's where the Jews, I think they still count the days from the evening to the next evening. So it's very confusing when you want to have a date, because our date is different than their date. But Louis Giglio is a guy who had conferences on creation. It is beautiful. If you ever want to look at that, it is, I think it's three DVDs on creation, on how actually the heavens were made and look like. So he had lots of pictures of NASA, of the satellites and how the stars look like and what they call them and all that. And then you think, oh, but you are so small and minute in comparison to this enormous thing that God created. And then one of his DVDs conferences goes on sound. And it really changed my insight. We're going to look at a video just now. He said, even the planets make sound. So, I don't know how NASA got that. But in his DVD, he makes us hear the sound of the planet. And it's all to the glory of God. The creation reflects his glory. So how does he reflect it? And even with sound. And I thought, wow, that's super cool. And then he had sound of whales. And then he combined those sounds. And then I thought, you know, Lord, I cannot sing. But if you like that do-do-do-do-do-do of the planets, and you like the of the whales, and you made my voice so, then it's okay. So sorry if you stand next to me. But for God, it's okay. It's fine. Okay, so it's a 13-minute video that we'll look now on the sound and this that song also with it. So just enjoy.
Let me show you a couple more stars. This one is called the Vela Pulsar, and it's magnificent. It's 1,000 light years away. It's a highly magnetized neutron star. And as it is oscillating, you can see what's happening. It's shooting a radio frequency out of itself. And so not only do we have this amazing photograph, but we're determined to hear somebody speaking to us. And so through SETI and other highly advanced electromagnetic telescope programs, we're listening to the universe day and night. But we have gotten something for our money, because when they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. About you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You're like, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Is that some kind of Morse code for something? Or what does all that mean? I don't know what it means, but and I don't want to, you know, go too crazy here, but maybe the Bella Pulsar got wind somehow innately of Psalm 148, verse 3, and since it says, praise him, sun and moon and all you shining stars, we're a shining star, we should praise him. Well, how are we going to praise him? I know. Let's oscillate 11 times a second on our axis and see if we can send a radio signal into the universe that would join in the symphony of God's praise from all creation. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. It's about 16,700 light years away from where we are. And you can see just this brilliant, it looks like a sort of, he shoved a lot of diamonds together into a pile. Unbelievable number of stars there. Look at these. They blow up that central place right there. There are 12 of these super giant blue stars in there, but the things that are of interest to us tonight are these millisecond pulsars. 23 millisecond pulsars are there, and we've recorded 16 of them. And right now tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. His own string section. He's beautiful. And we just looked at 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down at verse 7. It says, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps. I love that he starts with you great sea creatures. We were in Hawaii a few months ago, and it was whale season there, and I was captivated by these giant beasts, and they seemed like they were putting on a show for us, and it was beautiful. And as we were talking to some of the natives about the whales and asking all these questions, how do they get here every year, and how do they know to come to the same place to have their young, their offspring, and how do they know how to journey? And he said, oh, you know, the whales, one of the main ways they get around is through the whale songs that they sing. So I start doing a little research, and I go online to find the whale songs. The whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen. I love it. This Psalm 148 coming to life right in front of us tonight. That's what's happening in all creation. And I had this crazy idea, and I don't know if you know what a mashup is or not, but I had this crazy mashup idea. I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. I brought this guy in. He's not somebody that we had going already, but I brought one guy in. You should be hearing him by now. I don't know. Are we on? Yeah, if we could get just a little more volume, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Just even a little more volume would be fantastic. Thank you. I'm kind of maxed out here. There we go. This guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Bella Pulsar. You remember the Bella Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. That's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Thank you. It's just two pulsars slowed down and put in sync with each other. So we're going to put the millisecond guys in there. The ones you just heard, here they come.
Sing with me, how great.
Of the universe, and yeah, this was already for me, how great is our God, how awesomely great. When I saw a discussion on an evolutionist and a creationist, and the evolutionist asked him, yeah, but if you say everything is created, where did God come from? And then he says, your question is wrong. God is outside creation. He's not part of creation. So he made creation, if that makes sense to you. He's not part of what he made. He's outside it. Okay, we looked at space, and then just for a treat, we will look at what the same guy, Louis Giglio, found when he went into the body. So space is super cool and super big and super humongous. And then we go closer, 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 closer to where we are, and how God made us, and how awesomely, super special God made us. It's a shorter video, so we'll just look at this one.
Long story short, the tour was winding down last time around. We were in Tyler, Texas. The night was over. A guy walks up to me. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was so of God. Introduces himself to me, says, how are you doing? I just want to say hello. I said, it's nice to meet you. He says, you guys winding the tour down? Where are you going to go from here? I said, well, I'm on my way back home to Atlanta, Georgia. He said, well, what's next for you? I said, I'm going to be preaching the next two Sundays for my pastor back in Atlanta. He said, oh, cool. What are you preaching on? I said, well, the series is on the glory of God in the human body. He said, that's really amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the university down the road. Give me your talk. And I was like, oh, wow, I wasn't quite yet ready to unload the talk for a molecular biologist. So I kind of stumbled through what I had, and he's kind of being kind and gracious and like, uh-huh, that's good. And then he says, well, what's your big left hook? You got to have a left hook, a big finish, right? I said, I don't have a left hook yet. He said, oh, Louis, oh, man, your left hook is laminin. And I'm totally blank on laminin. And he goes, Louis, it's a cell adhesion molecule. Protein molecule? Do you know about proteins? I'm like, no. He said, Louis, cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what protein there are. There are between 10 and 60,000 proteins in the human body. We don't even know how many proteins are in the human body. But one of them is a cell adhesion molecule. It's organized into this certain structure, and that tells the cell what its job is in the body. And this one is a cell adhesion molecule. I'm like, all right. He said, no, Louis, it's like the rebar of the human body. The steel they put in the concrete when they lay the foundations of things, it's that stuff. It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell him about laminin. And I'm like, I promise you, I'm going home and tell them about laminin. And I'm sure when I do, revival is going to sweep across the church and probably around the world when I tell them. He said, no, no, no. You got to see laminin. Okay, let's see it. He said, no, 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 you need to go look it up online. You need to go Google laminin. I don't even know how to spell laminin. Takes his card out, he writes on the back, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait to get to my computer and get on Google, click on images, type in laminin, and I'm waiting, and these little thumbnails come up on the screen, and I'm like, laminin, the cell adhesion molecule. Woo! I am so excited. I am beside myself. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. I love laminin. I'm so fired up. You should see laminin, I guess. That's the thing, right? Okay. Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now. Okay, this is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I can't believe it. email I got back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual limb and molecule? I'm like, oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! He sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. Boy, how crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, it's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this. It's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things. And in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on a cross.
It is super cool how God made us, and that he knew Jesus is going to die on the cross, and that laminin is keeping us together, and it's in the form of a cross. It is just so it didn't have to be in the form of a cross. Could be circle or whatever. But God chose to do it this. So it's so particular and so precise. It is beautiful. The last picture is of the core of the Whirlpool galaxy. And If you see the galaxy, it's humongous, it's big, it has so many stars in it. And then when you enlarge the core, it is this semi-cross, it's a cross. And then I think, God, you play like hide and seek with us. Mm-hmm. The more we find, the more we are intrigued, the more beautiful it is, how wonderful you've made everything. So yeah, this is just to display or get our brains a little of how awesome and wonderful our Creator is. And we often bring him down because our thinking cannot grasp it. And then we make him smaller. But he is fantastic. He's super. And we actually don't have words for that. It is so awesome. Just two small things. There's a movie, I think it's a movie, The Atheist Delusion. Some of the RPs watched it yesterday evening as well. And he goes with a book of life, that God, our DNA is our book of life. Our DNA is who we are. Now, so if you could turn pages of our DNA, then you would recognize yourself. And it's super, I don't have the exact amounts, but it's very, very, very intriguingly made. It has so many characteristics. And then he speaks to atheists. That he asks them, "Are you atheist?" And they say yes. Then he has this book. I don't know if any one of you have seen the movie. He has this book, and it's beautiful pictures. And then he says, "Can this book, with these beautiful pictures of green and red and with animals on it, create itself, form itself, could happen or evolve in itself? Could this book make, just happen to be a book with these beautiful colors, which like pictures, and then little spots of black ink fell on the other page, and amazingly it formed words, and even though the words made sentences and it makes sense to people that look at the book, and so it goes on. And then the atheist says, no, of course not. This book will not form on itself. He says, so you say this book that was printed with these beautiful pictures, someone had to make it. Some intelligence had to make it. Yes, of course. He says, what more is your DNA? So much more is your DNA. And then he gets all the calculations out there. But you are so much more. It is not just... If the book couldn't even make itself, which we can understand, but the DNA of every person, of every animal, of every plant, if you think of that, you must just know there's a creator, there's a God, there's a super awesome God, there's intelligent design. And then the last one that I have here is of Kent Hovind. He's an evolutionist, creationist, you call it that. And then this is evidence of the flood, and that the flood was worldwide, and that these trees, is petrified trees, I think that is when they are in stone, they turn to stone, and they are in between layers that are different age groups, these layers. And it just say that it couldn't have happened that the older the layer, the lower the layer is, that it's more older, because these go straight through. And then you also has that argument of, if you have a glass bottle and you're putting some stones and some small stones and sand and some leaves and some small sticks or whatever, and you shake it with water and you let it stand for a day, what will you find the next day? Different layers. Yeah, how it settled. And this is what he says is actually what happened during the flood. It just settled in different layers. But you can study it further. It's just what I feel God wants us to grasp is, He is so great. He is beyond our thinking. There's actually, science is the evidence of God. We study science because we want to know more of how God made it. That's actually, and then we find out, oh, no, the brain works like this, or this other guy studies movement or something, the muscles work like this. It's just confirmation of who God made us. So this is who our God is. This is who God is. This is the God that we can call our Father. Mm. This is our God who loves us, who made us, who wants relationship with us, who enjoy us, who made us different. There's no double of you, and please don't try to be a double of anyone, because that was never the purpose of you. You're supposed to be your individual self, your awesome self. Let's go back to the Bible. There are some words that describes God. The first question was, or the second question, how would you describe God? And there are a few words. Eloah, God is mighty, strong, and prominent. Elohim, creator, mighty and strong. So creator comes in there. Al Shaddai is God Almighty. Adonai, Lord. Yahweh or Jehovah is Lord. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord our banner. The Lord who sanctifies or makes holy. The Lord our peace, Lord God. The Lord our righteousness. And then the Lord our shepherd, the Lord is there. The Lord of hosts, most high, God of seeing, everlasting God, mighty God. I think that's all of them then. I wonder how many names do you have? Some of us have a name and then a nickname, but I think that's as far as it goes. And then I was wondering, Lord, but there's so many other names that you are named by in the Bible. they are not on that list. And then I saw there was 947 names of God describing him. So Duncan was so gracious to print it out in a book. So you can have a look here, all the names. It's alphabetic. It's like shepherd, like strong tower, like redeemer, he's the salvation. He's the doorway, he is life, the way, the truth. 947 names. It is not few. It is a lot. I don't think any one of us knows all the names. So that's why I wanted to print it. I'm gonna call God on those names. I want to know all those names. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding." So it's not about our intellect. It's not about our thinking, our arguments. Our wisdom starts with God. Who is God? And it's actually so easy. We don't have to worry about all the other stuff. This is where we get our info from. The beginning is of wisdom. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we must honor and reverent God and worship Him fearfully. And that is the beginning of wisdom. I think all of us want wisdom. Sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, the word says, if you want more wisdom, ask. So sometimes I ask, I said, Lord, I want more wisdom. And then like that often, He will reveal stuff like that to me. And I said, yes, God, I want one thing more. But I really truly want godly wisdom, wisdom that God wants to give to me. Okay, there's one cool video that we use in Encounter 1, but it also describes so many names of Jesus. And I thought I'll just include it for today.
This one not, no.
Okay, come and do Encounter 1, then we'll hear it. Is it doesn't want to work at all? Okay, good. But it describes Jesus and all the different names that Jesus has. It's beautiful. So, to come back where we started, who is God? And then in Exodus, it's so beautiful. God asked me to preach on who am I? And then, yeah, God says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you. And for me, that is including everything. I am. I am the Redeemer. I am the Creator. I am the Loving Father. I am Jesus. I am the Holy Spirit. I am. So, if you can stand, I just want to pray for us all. Father God, we come before you. I am. Lord, I am. The I am. The all-inclusive I am. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. And we come before you today, Father, and we repent. We repent that we so often make you so small. And when we sing, you are God above all gods, it's just your us. It's not even a comparison, Father. You created everything. You are so much higher. And Lord, it's so special that from the start you wanted a relationship with us. From the start, you chose that Jesus will die for us because you want relationship and that we can have relationship when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior.